Morning and welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, the show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. We're talking all things wildlife today. Division Wildlife Manager Corey Adler is here. Corey, it's great to see you.
Yes, great to see you too. It's always good.
Oh, we were trying to figure out how long it's been. Over a year?
Yeah, it's about a year.
About a year. Yeah. Well, and we have so much stuff to talk about because, first of all, we are getting into that time of year.
Oh, yes.
For some hibernation. So we're going to talk about being bear aware. We're going to talk about the mountain lion activities that have been going on lately, not directly in our area.
Not in the Springs area.
But we still need to be aware.
Exactly, exactly.
And also getting everybody ready. And want to also touch on the bear can thing. I know CPW has encouraged bear-resistant cans. We're going to talk about that as well, because
right.
There's so much going on.
Oh, yes.
So I think, though, we should start with the mountain lion stuff that's been going on. The most recent, there's been, three attacks this year?
Three of them, yes, in Colorado, yeah.
And the most recent was a young boy in Bailey.
Bailey, correct.
And the first thing I said to you, like, what is going on? And you said, they're juveniles.
Yeah, so it happens a lot of times. You know, there are a lot of lions in the state. I think they estimate we have between 4,000 to 6,000 lions in the state of Colorado, maybe even a tad more. But all three of these incidents that happened with the lions were found out to be juvenile animals.
Okay.
And what happens a lot of times is when it's time to kick the little kids out, as mom does, they leave and they have to find their own territory and their own place to defend and call their own. Well, that's a hard thing to do, to find an open spot with other lions around, other big toms, males, or other females. And so that's why a lot of times the juveniles, the young ones who are, you know, on their own for the first time, get pushed into more habited areas by people, and they go into neighborhoods and things like that.
Okay.
And so... and a lot of times they might be kind of not very good at getting their food and surviving. And so anything and everything that comes along sometimes to them is something worth trying. So,
and I didn't realize that lions were that territorial.
Yes, they're very,
extremely
very territorial. So they have a hard time with finding a spot out in the woods of their own. So that's why a lot of times they move into more populated areas by people. And so... and then, you know, you could also get ones that are juveniles that lost a mom and
are
trying,
to
survive on their own. And a lot of times that happens. I think potentially that one that happened earlier in the season.
The one with
summer,
the runner.
The one with the runner who fought off or something like that. That was a really young and pretty emaciated cat. So that's why it was trying anything it could do. You know, it was doing what it tries to do and
to survive.
To survive, and it unfortunately picked the wrong one and everything. But that's what happens a lot of times. Juveniles cause the issues, and you know, we do what we can do, but sometimes, like I said, with the amount of lions we have these days, you know, it's hard for them to find their own little spot to call home.
And so, I mean, not to say that we don't have them around here, because we do. We know that. And I was talking to somebody at CPW, and they said, actually, the amount of time, say, you're out hiking and stuff, and you're on the go, especially on the west side, southwest, northwest sides, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've even heard of when I lived in the Fountain area, the notices came up, and mountain lion spotted in the area.
Oh, yeah.
Because east of I-20, it was so odd. But actually, I don't know if we have the exact numbers, but they're seeing you than you probably more than you probably know.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot. As I just recently said, there are a lot of lions in the state of Colorado, and we have them right here in Pike National Forest, just outside of town. And the more times you are out there hiking or doing stuff, there are probably, or you have been seen by a lion, but they are so secretive and quiet, and they really don't want anything to do with us is the main thing.
Right. They're not like, oh, hey.
No, they just look at you and go, okay, and that's it. They don't want any part of us most of the time.
Okay.
And so they're out of the way. And also in this day and age of higher technology and smaller video cameras and everybody who has the Ring doorbell or something like that, A lot more people are starting to see them in their yards than they ever expected. And
yeah, because it's like, well, yeah, because yep, the camera's going all the time now,
they're
right?
out there, and so now they're seeing them a little more. But as I said, most of the time you're out there, they're just looking at you, don't care about you, and they don't want anything to do with you.
They basically size you up and go, nah.
Yeah, not, I mean, because we are not what they normally go after. They normally go after the four-legged creatures that sometimes have big ears and antlers and things like that. And so their primary prey are deer.
Okay.
And so us on two legs and stuff like that, they're like, what is that? I don't really want. And that's one of the things you are supposed to do if you're out in the woods and you come across a lion.
I was going to say,
is you're supposed to make yourself look bigger.
Very big, right?
So you already look bigger than you all, than them, but you know, you're supposed to put your hands up. You're supposed to talk firmly to them, you know, let them know what you are, who you are. And then, you know, you don't turn around and walk fast or run. You just slowly back away until you don't see the lion anymore or the lion turns away. But everyone kind of gets a little freaked out because, you know, a lot of times a lion will just sit there and look at you. It's like, but it's a cat.
It's watching if you get big and back away.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a cat. It's doing cat things. But you just, you know, make noise, talk to it firmly, be loud, use the human voice, and put your arms up in the air. If you could stoop down while you're still looking at the lion and pick up branches or something like that to make you look bigger, even better. You know, things like that just to make yourself look more ominous than that lion is used to seeing.
But whatever you do, don't run, because that triggers their prey instinct, right?
So, I mean,
right?
That's the main thing. You know, cats are cats, and you have a cat at home, and you got a little... You have a little laser pointer and you move it around, and they're just, you know, anything like that. So, yeah, they love anything that runs. So
don't run.
Just back away slowly. Keep your eye on it, and everything will be good.
Yeah, I once had somebody I knew, and they were in the Cheyenne Mountain State Park running, and there was a cat just sitting there, mountain lion. And she ran.
Oh, yeah.
And that was not the...
yeah, I mean, you're
like,
not...
I was like, what did you... You're right. Supposed to stop, get big, and, you know, don't run.
You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to run.
But, of course, that fear instinct kicks in.
But like, it happens to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
They're in a situation that they've never been before, and it's either fight or flight, and most of the time it's flight. So they're thinking, I'm going to run out of here. But we try to highly recommend to people,
please don't
not
do
run.
That. Right, yeah. Big... loud.
And walk away slowly or back away
back
slowly.
Back away slowly. Exactly. Okay, so we need to take a break. We're going to have more with Division Wildlife Manager Corey Adler next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio from Colorado Parks and Wildlife Division Wildlife Manager. Corey Adler is here. And right now we're talking all things mountain lions. And that's because of there have been attacks this year. But you're helping explain probably what this is. They were all juvenile mountain lions.
Yes.
And probably some may have been abandoned or mom died. Or they were juveniles that were pushed out and trying to find their territory.
Correct, yep.
Trying to survive,
exactly.
And let's review the tips again really quick. As we talked about, they're probably seeing you far more than you think they are.
Yes,
but
definitely.
Generally, they are not interested in you whatsoever.
Correct, yes. You are not their normal prey item that they usually go after. Their main prey item is deer. They love deer, four-legged, all that kind of stuff. We come through their territory, and they're like, what is that?
Right.
It's pretty tall, two legs, something weird, smells different. We're not what's in their brain as prey.
As dinner.
As dinner.
Right,
so,
yeah.
As we said earlier, if, you know, you do come across one, you know, just stand there, look at it. But, you know, put your hands above your head, try to look bigger,
get louder,
use a firm voice,
right.
Be loud, you know, tell that lion who you are, what you are, tell it to get away. And, you know, if you can stoop down while you're still looking the lion and you have a branch or a stick to make you look bigger as you stand up, that's great. And then slowly back away, you know, back away. Don't turn around and don't run. Just back away so you can keep your eye on the lion and see where it's going or what it's doing and back away. You need to also remember it is a cat. So sometimes it just does cat stuff and stare at you and look at you and do whatever cats do.
A big cat.
A big cat. But just, you know, like I said, be safe, back away slowly until the cat's out of the way, and then, you know, then you could potentially move a little faster or swifter, but
right.
No, you don't have to run, because that's a triggering mechanism for a
absolutely.
Cat.
Absolutely. Their prey drive goes, okay, right?
Exactly.
I was telling you that when I used to live in the southwest part of town up above the bluffs, I mean, we had a cat that could care less. He would just walk on the by the patios, like walk around, and I had a puppy at the time, and I want you to give tips on that, because I would have to take the puppy out at night, of course, because puppies.
Oh, yes.
So I always had a flashlight with me. I always had the puppy leashed, of course, and I had a pan and a something I could hit.
Right, and that's what we suggest to people. We tell people, we say, if you're going out at night, puppy, dog, whatever, always have your pet on a leash so you are within reach of it, can control it, take a flashlight with you so you can scan your yard or area before you go out first, just to kind of get a quick look. And then you also have the flashlight at all times. And then, you know, if you want, take something that does make noise, a loud noise, a pan and something to hit it is always good.
I liked your suggestion of air horn.
Yeah, they sell little air horns. I mean, you could get a tiny air horn, you can get a big air horn, but anything that can fit in your pocket or just have, because you are out there, and if you see a lion and you set that thing off, that air horn, we don't like it. People don't like it.
Yeah, so they're not going to like it.
Lions really don't like it, and they're going to take off. So that's just something easy to have as a deterrent if you need it, you know, and you feel you see a lion and you don't want it around, just spray the air horn and boom, off it. It'll take off.
And the biggest thing for pet owners is keep your animals leashed.
Keep them leashed, yes, because you might have a fenced-in yard, yeah, but your dog or someone is at the very back corner, and if a lion or something comes in and you're worried about your pet, the amount of time for you to get from where you're at to that animal is way longer and takes a lot more time than it would take an animal to get to your pet and everything. So, yeah, just keep it on a leash. It's easy. You know, 6-foot leash, you have it in control. You could pull it back at any time and tell them to come, and all is good.
Okay. And I do want to touch on really quick before we have to go to break. Bobcats, it seems like, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I know in my particular neighborhood, we've kind of had an increase in bobcat sightings. I don't know if that's across the... So tell us a little bit about bobcats. I mean, I don't know that they are... clearly, they're a wild animal, but are they like considered like mountain lion level of?
Well, more people see bobcats more than mountain lions. A lot of times they'll explain things to us and then describe it, and it's turns out to be a bobcat. The main thing is if you see a large cat and you see that it has a tail that is as long or longer than the body.
That's a lion.
That is a mountain lion.
Yeah.
But if you see a cat, and yes, some bobcats can get pretty big.
Yeah.
You know.
But they're fluffier, aren't they?
Yeah, there's more squat to the ground.
Right.
And they do not have a long tail.
That's where
they get their name bobcat from. They have a bobbed tail. And they usually have some stripes on them, a darker color.
Pointier ears. I was going to say pointier ears,
and,
right?
And they just, you know, look a little bit more like a big house cat or a smaller dog or something like that. But the main thing is you're seeing bobcats a lot. Bobcats will come out any time of the day or night, anything like that. And, you know, a lot of times people get worried about bobcats in the neighborhood and everything. And, you know, as we just mentioned earlier, keep your dog or pet on a leash because then you have control on it. And I'm not going to say bobcats are not going to do anything. They are wild animals. And if there is a small dog or something around, they may try it. But the great thing about bobcats is we are way bigger than them.
Yeah.
And even a 5 or 6 year old is way bigger than a bobcat.
Yeah.
If you yell at a bobcat or...
Right.
You know, just kind of do a bluff charge or just kind of wave at it and just tell it to get out of there.
It's going to be gone.
They don't want any part of you at all.
You're
like 10 times the size of them.
Okay.
So they're, you're nothing that they even want to deal with.
Okay.
So, bobcats are just, you know, another kind of cat. And a lot of times people worry, they say, but it was just sitting there and staring at me. It's like house cats do that a lot of times,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, right.
They kind of do what they want to do and what cats do. But, yeah, bobcat, you see a bobcat, see an animal that's cat-like, no long tail, you know, it's got stripes, a little darker color. It's most likely a bobcat, and you just yell at that and scare it away, and it's going
to
run.
Perfect. Okay, Corey, hold that thought. We do need to take a news break. We're going to have more with Division Wildlife Manager Corey Adler next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, from Colorado Parks and Wildlife, Division Wildlife Manager Corey Adler is here. And if you missed the first part of the show, you were talking about mountain lions, what to do if you see one. Hey, they see you far more than you see them. Let's just put it that way.
There you go.
So you can go back and listen to the podcast on that later this morning once we get it up. But now, Corey, I think we should, of course, shift our attention to, we've had a lot of bears in the news as well. We always do. Like, this is nothing new.
Always bears around Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Colorado Springs without bears for sure.
Now, it is that time of year, though, right, that they are starting their hibernation process.
Correct.
How long does this go?
So, what are we in now? End of September. So pretty much like around the beginning of September, they kind of start getting into what's called their hyperphagious phase, which is means they are super hungry and eat anything and everything they can because they are trying to put on as much fat and weight as they can before they quote unquote go into hibernation.
Right.
Again, bears are not true hibernators.
Okay.
But they are long sleepers. So
what does that mean? Not like they're sleeping for 5 months and then come up in May and go, ooh.
Right. So what happens is their body is created and made for them to go into a state of torpor, which means, you know, an extended sleep. Their body kind of slows down a little bit. Their internal mechanisms slow down. You know, they don't go to the bathroom and everything.
Okay. But,
so they sleep for a long time. And that was a way that Mother Nature created for them to live in harsh environments. Come wintertime, they find a place to sleep. Sleep away for 5-6 months. Wake up and go at it again the next year.
Interesting.
So what happens in the springs is
you guys were telling me that in the springs they may not actually do that.
Correct. So in the springs, everybody knows what the weather's like here. We could get a snowstorm come wintertime, get 5 or 6 inches of snow, and then 2 days later it's 60 degrees and the snow is all gone. Or 2 days later it's 60 degrees and that lasts for a couple days and then 50s. And so if a bear is sleeping at that time, their body kind of senses it. It's like, oh, it's warm out. It's nice out. Let's, you know, they wake up and then go, oh, what's going on? Let's just kind of wander around for a little bit.
So they're actually not hibernating.
Exactly. So they'll wake up and then one of the first things they need is food. So they're looking for food. And one of the easiest things to get is trash cans. And that's why we really try to tell people, you know, keep trash inside till the day of, you know, all that kind of stuff. But there are some bears that kind of wander around a lot during the winter time.
So you guys know kind of like which bears are, because you guys monitor them, but there are certainly bears, I think, that you guys know of that it's like, yeah, they don't hibernate.
Yeah,
they're still kind of wandering.
There's areas that, you know, each district wildlife manager knows. They're like, okay, they just got a call about this one bear seen.
And you're like, I know who
that
is.
And then you don't hear anything for another week or two or three. And then it's like, oh, there's another call came in for this bear in this area. So, most bears, sows with cubs for sure, will find a place. And they usually sleep the winter, don't come out because they got the little cubs there.
Right.
Big boars, the big males, a lot of times we don't have them causing issues in the winter or waking up, they'll go out and sleep. A lot of times, as we talked about juvenile mountain lions, it's usually the juvies, the immatures that just wake up and wander during the winter and things like that.
So. But do they wander for a long time or it's just like,
no, like I said, they wake up, they go check some things out, and you know, then if it gets cold that night, and then they'll just go back to their little den and sleep again for a little while.
Wow.
So it's just, you know, they get seen, but we usually don't have issues in the wintertime that much. I mean, we get sightings, which of course always when a bear is seen in, say, January, people are like, what's a bear doing out here? So of course we're going to get a call on that. And but now we have better ways of tracking and everything like that to see what's going on. But yeah, you know, right now they are at that phase of trying to eat as much as they can, getting ready for the wintertime and getting ready for some sleep going on. And
so again, let's give some tips. Again, don't, and we've talked about this before, don't obviously leave your trash out. Put it out the morning of.
Correct. That is a huge thing that we really, really, really try to get into people's minds and their routines. Is a lot of people we know leave early in the morning. It doesn't take more than a minute or two to take your trash can out to the curb in the morning.
Yeah.
It's so easy. A lot of times we get people that say we don't leave trash in our garage because it stinks. Well, that's what lids are for, and we keep our trash in our garage mm-hmm. all week long mm-hmm. and never have a problem. So just keep it in there, put it out in the morning. Other things are, you know, there's still people that like bird feeders. I can't, you know, I'm a bird person myself.
But isn't that a big, like,
but bird seed is huge for bears because it's just full of fat. It's, you know, there's nothing but fat inside a bird seed.
So they're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. You put bird seed out there, they will find it, and they'll come after it and eat it and everything. So.
And the other thing, and this is, I know we've had you guys in before when we've had some in-garage incidents as well, especially like southwest part of town and stuff. Don't leave your garage door open, right?
Exactly.
Because once they figure out, I mean, people need to realize how smart they are. You guys have told me stories like where you've relocated mom and baby. You're talking miles.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
talking to a different part of the state.
Oh, yeah.
And in 2 weeks, they work their way back know where the food is.
Correct. That was a sow and two cubs about a year or two ago that they were captured. We tagged them, and then we shipped them. I think it was probably
to Durango-ish resident or something.
They were 150, 200 miles away. They were southwest of here. And within 2 weeks, because that mom knew in her mind that there's easy pickings in Colorado Springs, as in people's trash and stuff, she brought her cubs back and everything.
And
so,
within 2 weeks, there she was again.
Oh, yeah. So they are extremely smart animals. If they find a source of food, they're not going to
let it go
until that food is gone. So that's why we always tell people, if they do have an issue with a bear getting into bird feeders or something, get rid of that attractant
immediately.
And yes, that bear may show up another day or two, but once it realizes putting that effort in going there is not worthwhile, it's not going to show back up again. So like the main thing we say is, you know, trash should stay inside. Put out morning of. Bird feeders, don't keep dog food or other food items outside or in areas accessible to bears.
Right.
And as you mentioned earlier, garage doors should be kept closed because there was the bear 2 years ago who learned the sound of a garage door opening or closing.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it would go check to see if it was opened or closed. And if it was open, they always know that there's a great rectangular thing inside there that
that
holds food. So
yeah.
They would go for that. So, you know, we as people are kind of at the apex of knowledge and smartness, and
yeah.
we should be able to say, all right, if I just keep this inside and keep my garage door closed and don't do this, I should be pretty good.
Yeah.
And I do have a lot of people that I have in my district that say, I've lived here 35 years.
Never
and,
had a problem.
You know, yeah. they've done this, this, and this. And sometimes they've never even seen a bear and all. So
right.
it can be done.
Okay, so we do need to take a break. We'll have more with Division Wildlife Manager Corey Adler next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We have a few minutes left with Division Wildlife Manager Corey Adler. And we were talking in the break, and sounds like, okay, so Manitou Springs, they did pass their bear ordinance, their bear resistant can ordinance, what was that, over a year ago?
Yes.
And you said you were talking with the Division Wildlife Manager, and that and really truly has decreased interactions between bears and people, and really not that many incidents.
Correct, yeah, it's done a great deal. It's really reduced the amount of incidents that we get calls about bears getting in the trash or or being around or causing problems. And as I said, the district wildlife manager who's there now, she said that the calls have really reduced. And if she does get a call or something about bears getting into trash or doing something like that, she ends up calling the law ordinance person for Manitou Springs, and they go and give a look-see and at the address that it's at and see if there is a problem and stuff, and it's taken care of quickly, kind of thing. So
and we know that the city of Colorado Springs is discussing in this, and of course it would be west of I-25.
Correct.
And of course this has been going on, the discussion has been going on kind of off and on and off and on, and it sounds like there's a work session coming up on Monday to kind of discuss this further for Colorado Springs.
There is another work session coming up and for the city council to look at and talk more about it and everything, and about the bear ordinance that they're thinking about potentially passing for the Springs area west of I-25. Manitou Springs is a good example. There's even
Are there areas even up the pass too that kind of have done that, say, that you know of?
Like, well, some places even out, you know, out west, Durango has that. They have ordinances, and then we have the Air Force Academy that has been bear-proof containers for a long time, and they've shown a real drop in bear incidents through the years since then. So there is a way to reduce bear incidents with trash. A bear-proof container is a great way, is a really good way to do that. And then if people don't want that, keeping trash inside, as we've always said, and doing things like that will also help reduce bear incidents. But this ordinance will be great. It will really help lower the amount of bear-human interactions that go on. And I think people will really see, if they do pass it, as time goes on, we're going to have
the
a great
impact.
It's going to be a great impact. And you'll still see bears around. Bears wander, bears look for stuff, but I think we're going to have way less of a bear human interaction and us having to go potentially trap a bear and move them and all that kind of stuff.
Well, so. And that's just the thing. I don't think people really think about the impact of, okay, my trash could equal this bear being put down. I don't think they really correlate that, because the bear keeps coming back to the neighborhood and, oh, on Monday it's trash day here, and Tuesday, Thursday, trash day, and that's what the bear is doing.
And that's what happens.
And we're really feeding that bear.
Right, and that's the unfortunate thing is, you know, bears are very smart. They know, oh, it's Monday morning, it's trash day here, and they'll wander the streets looking, Sunday night even, and the people who put them out early, it's great. And so, that bear who starts unfortunately becoming habituated into getting food from trash and being in the neighborhood and getting more trash all the time is a problem bear. They're not doing normal bear behavior. So we, as Parks and Wildlife, will go out and try to trap that bear. And if it's the bear's first incident,
you're just watching.
Then
it,
we trap it. We put an ear tag in it and we try to move that bear away back into a area of the state where there are less people, less interaction for the bear to have with people, especially in neighborhoods. And if the bear realizes that this is a great place out here, everything's great, that bear is going to have a long, happy life. Unfortunately, if the bear comes back into areas, back into neighborhoods, gets back into the same routine of doing unbear-like behavior.
It's going to go shopping in the trash can.
Exactly.
Like, oh, today we're going to go shop here.
Then we unfortunately, one of our policies is, you know, that's kind of the second strike for that bear, and that bear has to get put down. And
because it could lead to more aggressive behavior.
Exactly, because then that bear is in neighborhoods all the time, is accustomed to getting stuff and food, and it could one day lead to more aggressive behavior. And so we don't want that. You know, human safety is is the main thing that we're all about in Parks and Wildlife. But, you know, animals also, they're
keeping them safe,
yeah,
too.
They're top on our priority list. And I never, never enjoy having to put an animal down, be it a bear, deer, or anything like that. That's not why I became a district wildlife manager. But trying to educate and have people do what we ask them to do and be good about keeping trash inside and being a little bit more bear aware, which they can get that information from us.
I was going to say, let's give them the website, because there's a whole entire website dedicated, dedicated to it.
Yeah, if they go to our website, they could just type in cpw.gov, and they will then see what comes up in Google. The first thing on the list is Colorado Parks and Wildlife. They click on that, then they can type in the search bears or living with bears, and oh my gosh, you will get a huge window that tells you how to live with bears and live with other wildlife and live with mountain lions and what to do if you have bears or mountain lions, all that kind of stuff.
It's all right there.
All
on the
right
website.
There.
Everything you can eat. I'm sure you even have recommendations for good bear-proof cans.
Everything. Anything that you want to learn to live harmoniously with wildlife in Colorado Springs, you could find on the Colorado Parks and Wildlife website, and then it'd be happy all around.
For everybody.
For everybody and the bears.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey, it's always great seeing you. Thank you so much for all the helpful info and
no
tips.
No problem. It's always great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on The Extra, it's the Business Edition, KRDO News Radio.